At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, guys, here we go. Hour two for everyone. And we get to welcome in the 97.1 FM listeners as well, the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and here today to keep this conversation going, hopefully answer some more questions and get some more tips and topics out there and help everybody this weekend around their home, take care of their home, and just keep the maintenance up. Anything you got going on, I'm here for you. We got a whole nother hour left, so we're having a great time. And you can find me at 314-436-7900. I'll get right here right now. Lines are wide open for you, so feel free. And we've had some great conversations so far. And I did want to bring back a piece of a conversation from last week. We had Jim called in talking about plumbing stacks and back-to-back toilets, and I just wanted to explain a little bit more about that situation, really only because when I was telling my wife about it Saturday afternoon after the show, and she said, well, what are back-to-back toilets? Like, she had no clue, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, so we say this and we just think like everyone just knows how this goes. But and so I kind of described our other house to her and explained, remember in our starter home when we had the 5x8 hall bathroom, and then when you went around through our bedroom and you had a bathroom you could walk into that was another 5x8 bathroom off that master bedroom. They were in a line with each other, and there was one wall right between the two. So when you, if you drew that layout out and you looked down on it, or if you could take the roof off and look straight down inside the house, the toilet in the hall bathroom would be right across the wall on the exact opposite side of the master bath toilet, calling them back to back. They're right there, and they both just take a pipe straight into the same plumbing stack. And that way you've got one coming in the pipe, one side, one coming in the other side. So what we talked about last week with these toilets and what happens is these newer toilets, they have a high velocity, high power flush. They really, they're using more velocity in that than they are the amount of water. We used to rely on 3 or more gallons of water, and people would even fill it up and fill that tank up as high as you could get it, get the most water through there as you can. That's the way we had to do this years ago because of the way the toilet bowls were designed. Now, that's different, way less water, 1.3 gallon flush, and they use the velocity to get this down. So it pushes air across that pipe into the other toilet's drain, and that air can shoot up into that toilet bowl and then suck water out of that toilet bowl and completely drain that toilet bowl sometimes if you're using only one and not the other, and you don't look at it for a while and you're not kind of replenishing the water in that bowl by using it, you'll see it go down slowly till it's pretty much gone. And then you can start having plumbing smells in the house. So that's kind of the description of what a back-to-back toilet is in a home and what it means. Now, you can still have the same setup, and I've seen it as far as the powder room is 10, 15 feet away from the master bathroom, but the drain pipe still does the same thing to the same stack. It's just further away. And I've seen it still happen where they flush one, and when that air hits, it'll still start taking some of the water out of the other. Even though they're not 4.5, 5, 6 inches apart, they're 10 feet or more apart, it can still happen. It's pretty amazing how hard those toilets flush, but it shows us that the newer toilets, there are some out there now that have been designed and really, really work well. You will not have the problems that you had while they were kind of trying to lower the water consumption and the government saying, yeah, you should bring it down to here and we need to utilize less water consumption. So they force these manufacturers to do this. And it takes the manufacturers some time to work and develop. And sometimes they had some out there that seemed to be okay, but they'd get clogged. And so there was a time frame there where everyone was like, I don't want those new toilets. They don't flush well at all. Well, I think now we're well beyond that. And if you find a good one, and like I've always told everybody, talk to your plumber, talk to the professional person about what toilet would work good and might be not too expensive or cost effective, and let them help advise you. I say the same thing with HVAC. When let them advise you on what type of units they use and why, because they're the ones that get the callbacks. They're the ones that get the complaints, and no one wants that. So they'll say, yep, no, I've used this toilet. They're going to tell you the one that they've had great luck with and no complaints and that everybody loves. So you're going right to the source. So the electricians, the plumbers, the HVAC guys, the carpenters, they'll guide you in a direction for the most part that really, really would be good for everyone. And sometimes they have these decisions because of the manufacturer where they're like, yeah, I've used that one. It does work good, but every time I have had to work on it, it's taken me months to get parts, or I can't get parts from them. And it's a problem on the service and maintenance end. So even though something seems good and will work well right away, if it's something that you service and maintain and you might need things for, they might have these really bad experiences where, yep, I've dealt with them for 5 years and I gave up because as I was trying to service and maintain these units and people's houses, I was having problems. So now I'm with this one because it's a good unit and I'm getting good service after the fact. So a lot to contemplate and remember and think through, but don't forget to go to the experts to help out and get information from, because they're the best ones. They've seen so many of them. So, and speaking of that exactly, I'm here. We've got 3 more segments left here. So don't hold back. Any questions, any comments, anything you have going on, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We're going to jump into our first break. Stay tuned, and we'll come back with more questions.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we are back. Plenty going on today. Plenty of time for everybody. 314-436-7900 is how you will find me. And Keith found me, so let's jump right to Keith and see what's happening. Keith, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing?
Awesome. I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
I had a question. I have getting a new roof installed in about 3 weeks on my house. I had hail damage. I have a hip roof on my house with turtle box vents on the backside now.
Uh-huh.
The new company, which is a very good company, I don't doubt that. I just want to ask you. I was listening there.
Sure.
They're saying you just put a ridge vent on top of the hip up on top. Now, no, you don't need a box vent. Is that true?
Well, so to an extent, yes, it is. The ridge vent will work better than the box vent. The trick in the whole thing is it will probably be the same or a little bit better than what you have now. But the key to attic ventilation really, really working well is balance. It really needs to, what we're looking for is the same amount of intake air coming in at the eaves of the house as exits. So if you have 50 feet of vent running down at your eaves on each side of the house, you want the same thing up top to let out the same amount of air. So if you do a 50-foot ridge vent that has 50 foot of intake, it will match and it will work perfectly.
Okay.
With a hip roof, okay, it's very hard to do that because you've got a lot more lower area than upper area. So if they do a ridge vent up there, I don't think it'll be any worse than what you have right now. But to actually balance it, they do make ridge vents that run down the hip also. So it can run down the raised area of the hips to create more exhaust to match the intake better. But that takes a lot of math and figuring out. You've got to actually calculate, like, where's it vented in, how much is coming in, and then take that calculation to figure out how much do you need up top to match it. So I think they're doing a great thing. It maybe could be better with a lot of investigation and making sure it's running correctly.
Okay. Yeah, I think probably, I just be honest with you, I probably just stay with the ridge up on top, and I got the soffits are all vented, so I think I just keep it the way it is. But I just wanted to see what you guys thought on that. The signs are telling me the straight story on it too. So
yep.
I thank you for your time.
I think
Appreciate it.
No problem. You're very welcome, Keith. And I know that was a long answer to a short question, but there's so much involved in actually getting these things perfectly right sometimes. And a lot of people sometimes go to that and they want to figure that out really, really well. And it's like, well, it's the same thing you've had for years, so just roll with it. So let's go to Bob here. We've got Bob on the line. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Rich? Hey, I got a question. In your last segment, you were talking about toilets. When I was a kid growing up in the 60s, I saw my first bathroom basement toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was it had a tank that was high above, you know, it wasn't connected like our.
Oh, hang on, Bob. All right, you're there. I'm sorry, I lost you for a sec. So you had a toilet with the tank higher up on the wall?
Yeah, you know, like it was up towards the floor joists, you know, in the basement, of course, you know, in a two-family flat, you know, in South St. Louis.
Yeah.
I said, is that something that's still something that people can do if they have a basement toilet and maybe they wouldn't require to have a stack right there, you know, but... You know, my question is, have you ever seen anything like that?
Well,
and is it something that's still available?
So I've seen those toilets for sure in a lot of older homes. And really, yeah, it's basically the same system as a regular toilet now with a tank on the back of it. It's just the distance between the tank and the bowl with the pipe and everything that makes that one different and higher up. So the only thing I know of that would be even remotely similar to that is wall hung toilets, where the toilet actually mounts to the wall, not the floor, would have a similar type of thing because the tank can be inside the wall and in a different spot, and that works that way. But that's really the only thing that I know of these days that would do that. And of course, when you do a wall hung toilet, you are changing that plumbing stack a lot in order to make that work and move where it hooks up and everything. So that would help eliminate the issue of the back-to-back toilet if you did a wall hung toilet. But there's a lot of plumbing work involved inside the wall there. And there is a super easy way with a new fitting to correct that back-to-back toilet problem, where they make it's a double 45 degree Y fitting for those back-to-back toilets today, where the Y connector would direct that water and the air downward, so it eliminates that direct flow of air into the opposite waistline. So there's a pretty simple way to replace and work on that stack and fix that issue from the plumbing stack without having to go through all that. But yeah, I know what you're talking about, and those toilets are really, really neat.
Yeah, my question would be, is that something that would be like a code today? I mean, could you install something like that and not have a stack required behind it? Because this went right to the floor. You know, I mean, it was a floor drain there, obviously, you know, for the in a toilet flange where it all hooked up. And, you know, the flush valve was, you know, close behind you, you know, way down yeah. low, you know, so you get on a ladder to flush it. But I was just wondering, is that something that people do these days, or is it even considered to be a code, you know, to do something like that in a basement setting, well, you know, where everything's already exposed, you know, it's an unfinished area.
Yeah, but yeah.
But the rough end is there, is what, you know.
Yep. And yeah, you're fine with that because you're fine with the toilet in the basement because your stack that you're hooked up to for the drain is actually underground, and it's just not going up 8-10 feet to reach the first floor level. It's basically running sideways underneath the concrete, turning up four, 8 inches to meet that toilet. So your stack is essentially underground.
Right. Okay.
Under the concrete. So any toilet would work at that point, where however the tank goes or flushes or any of that. Of course, the wall-hung toilet would be very difficult in the basement because you have to build a wall and get your stack into the wall, so you're creating what we're trying to avoid here. But, the toilet would work either way, newer version, older version. I do love the how cool they are and the look of those old toilets, and I still find them from time to time where you're just like, wow, this has been down here for a really long time. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, that takes care of all your flush issues. I mean, you got that extra run there with that pipe, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you get that pressure built up if you really want to get a good flush, if you're having any type of an issue.
Yeah, it creates
with the amount of water. Yeah. Yeah, it
creates the velocity from the distance that water's dropping on the way to the bowl, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
hey, great question, Bob. I appreciate
awesome.
It. Yeah.
An awesome answer, too. Appreciate you, the fact that you've seen them, because they are something cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
think
I do.
I'm going to do that in my house.
Yeah. Yep. It would be cool.
If I could figure out how to do it.
I'm sure there's some out there you could probably find, get it in there. Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a good one.
You too. Let's jump over to Fred here and see what Fred has going on for us. Are you there?
I'm there.
Hey, great. Thanks for calling.
Sure thing. My issue is I want to replace a jacuzzi-type bathtub with a regular bathtub in a regular bathroom. What issues should I be thinking about?
Well, so really when that jacuzzi tub comes out, the only thing that would be much different, other than possibly the size of the tub with drain location, would be, you know, if your jacuzzi tub's maybe really big, but if not, the only other one is the electrical, is because you've got power to that jacuzzi tub that you'll need to deal with. If the new soaker tub isn't a jacuzzi tub, doesn't need power. Now, I have had some bathroom remodels where that jacuzzi tub and not putting it back was a good thing for the entire bathroom remodel, because when we remodel bathrooms today and we pull permits, one of the newer codes that by newer, I mean 10 years or so, 10 or 15 years maybe, basically requires that the outlet over the sink be a dedicated circuit. Meaning from the breaker to that outlet is the only thing on that breaker. So in the breaker box, it would be labeled bathroom GFI, and it's only for that. And when you have an older home with a jacuzzi tub, that jacuzzi tub – if done properly, even back then, was a dedicated circuit only for that jacuzzi tub. So if you don't put the jacuzzi tub back, you can steal that circuit, rewire it over to the outlet at the sink, and now you have your dedicated circuit there without having to possibly go through the first floor of the home. If this is on the second floor, or we're trying to get from the breaker box to the bathroom, sometimes that could be a daunting task in how that does. So that circuit, you might just, even if you don't need it, move it somewhere, put it in a blank panel with a blank cover in the bathroom, and then it could be used later to be a dedicated circuit for that outlet if you don't have one already.
Okay. Anything else I should be thinking about?
Just basically who you get to put the new stuff in. If you're going to DIY it, do a lot of research, or just make sure the people doing the tub install are going to, you've got a good reputable company, plumbing company, remodeling company that can take care of it and has good warranties and all of that, that include leaking and all that different stuff. A really good warranty on how they put this project together is a great thing to have if you're having an outside company perform the work.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I'll try it myself.
Yeah, well, it's a big task, and they're heavy.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So definitely takes more than one person usually. So
okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you calling in. Great question and great thing. Just looking for advice. So if you're out there, you need some advice, you have any kind of question, jump on in. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. We're going to take our middle hour break here, and we will have more to come, and we will get to Matt as soon as we get back from the break.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, we are back. And hey, we've been loaded with good questions, calls, comments, concerns, everything going on. Hopefully getting some great information out there. Don't forget, if you need anything, 314-436-7900 is where you will find me right here today. And we've got Matt on the line. Thanks for holding through the break, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're up in Florissant. Our house was built in 86. Before we bought it, they redid the lower level, but the upper level is all still 86, decade.
Sure.
So all the bedrooms have popcorn ceilings and kind of a textured, all the walls have kind of a texture to them. It's three bedrooms, it's the hallway, it's everything. Is that a DIY project worth tackling, or is that something you'd hire out? What's your opinion on that?
Well, it really depends on the DIY tenacity of time that you have, and if you're good at drywall mud, skim coating, making the ceiling look smooth again. Because it's not hard to scrape away the popcorn ceiling, and you'll never get it perfectly smooth by just scraping it away. And there's plenty of options out there where they talk about spraying it to get it a little wet as you scrape. But again, you don't want to get it too wet, because if you get it too wet, you might get actually into the paper of the drywall, making that too soft, and you're ripping up your drywall. So once it's scraped off, it needs to be skim coated and then with joint compound to kind of flatten it out, and then sanded to make it look smooth again. And that's usually harder than getting the popcorn down. And another thing I would definitely let you know, just to be aware in what would be not expensive but a really good thing to do, is to have some of that popcorn ceiling tested for asbestos.
Okay.
because there it can have asbestos in it. In 86, it shouldn't, but they stopped that earlier, but they let them sell off stock for a while, and people held on to stock without saying anything, and so some of that stuff got used for years. Even they've literally tested positive up about the 90s, early 90s. Wow. So we don't get a lot of positive tests from it, but all you do is scrape just a little bit of an area into like a Ziploc bag, and you could take it to any kind of environmental place. Wellington Environmental is where I get all my stuff tested. It's, I want to say it's $75 or something. They'll test it. They'll send it out to a lab. They'll test it. And then you'll know, because if it does have asbestos, you want to do it completely differently. You want to, you don't want to do it yourself 100%.
Sure. Sure.
And so I would definitely advise that, but I just think it's a matter of if you've done enough drywall floating, joint compound, skim coating. If you can handle that, then it's a great DIY task. The other way some people do it is, and this is a way that we do it often when that test comes back positive for the popcorn, is you just put a new layer of drywall right over top of that, and you cover it up. If it's undisturbed, it's perfectly fine. Cover it up, put a new layer of drywall. But that gets you right back to the same, where you got to be a good mud tape person with joint compound to do all the seams, float it out, and make it look like a smooth ceiling.
Sure. And that's, and I could just go over like the existing light box and everything. I don't have to adjust those or anything. I can just go right over. I mean, cut a hole, obviously.
Yeah, but, yeah, cut the hole. But, yeah, you don't need to really move it. You just it'll be fine where it's at, and you might need a little longer screw when you put the fixture back. Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate the call. Great call, great question. And we've got Terry on the line here. Let's see what's going on with Terry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. Thanks what's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I have two plumbing questions. It looks like it's plumbing day.
Yeah.
I've got a house over in St. Louis Hills, built in 1983. I've got an XL Zern tankless toilet upstairs. It seems to get air occasionally. It's been a problem since we've been here, and it doesn't flush well. So what I do to remedy that, and I was wondering if there's anything else I can do, is I shut the main off, open all the faucets, let them completely air the air out, and then that seems to help. If there's anything else, the other question that I have is, same house, I have the old 5-valve shower bathtub configuration, and the gaskets, the turnoff gaskets, need to be replaced. Is that a big job? Because I know there's packing in there, and I don't want to open up a can of worms that I can't fix.
So on your shower, you've got 3 handles, a hot, a cold, and then the center for the shower valve?
I actually have 5. I have hot and cold for the shower, hot and cold for the tub, and then the waste.
Okay.
Okay,
gotcha. Yeah, so those, I mean, those gaskets, it is a DIY thing that a lot of people take care of those gaskets, and it really shouldn't be too bad. It just depends mostly on, the hardest part is if it's the age. If it's really, really old and rusted, and you're using WD-40, and you're having, it's more getting to the gasket than it is changing the gasket. So if you got into it and it was seeming to be really, really difficult, and it was super old, and you're having trouble getting the nut off to pull the valve out and all that, then you might just consider, yeah, maybe it's going to be better off just going more towards a remodel and replacing everything instead of trying to get stuck into that. Because what could happen is you get 2 or 3 of them done, you're halfway through it, and you can't get to the rest, and now you're into that remodel anyhow.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, the access to those valves are in behind the wall, too. there's a panel that I can pull out.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So that'll help you change them out if you need to end up changing the whole valve. That would be good. So you could change the, if you needed new valves, you can change them out and redo it without having to take the whole wall apart and everything. So that's a good, that's a plus.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
All right. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Let's jump to Janet real quick and see what's going on here. Janet, are you there?
Janice is here, yes.
Oh, Janice, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I'm wanting to replace a ceiling fan in a vaulted ceiling, and I've seen some ceiling fans that have lights that you don't change the bulbs in, so I was wondering if you knew anything about those new kind of ceiling fans.
So I'm guessing what they're talking about is an LED fixture that's on the ceiling fan. So they've, because there's a lot of light fixtures too now that actually they're LED, what we call LED fixtures. So they have the LED lights in the fixture and you don't change the bulb. And some take an LED light bulb. So yeah, there should be fans that have LED fixtures, but I will tell you that those LED iodes that light up, that they work just like the light bulbs, they will eventually wear out and you'll have to change kind of the whole light fixture that's on that ceiling fan. And you should still be able to replace that as a unit with a new one when that does happen, but that shouldn't happen for many, many years.
Oh, okay.
So it can still burn out in time, just like one of the light bulbs.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help.
Hey, yeah, no, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And we've got a lineup here of people. We'll try and get through you as quickly as we can. We're going to get to our final break, and we'll get back to the phones right after we return.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, we are back. Final segment. Man, we had a fun-filled day. And speaking of fun-filled, let's get Jim on the line here. Has a question for us. Jim, what do you got going on? Thanks for calling.
Yes, first of all, I've used Scott Mosby quite a few times. Great work. Really professional. I'm happy with the final project. So
awesome. I appreciate that.
So we live in Florissant, and my girlfriend, we're in her early 70s, and she's thinking about, well, it's getting to a point in her life where going up and down the stairs to wash clothes is going to be a problem. So she wants to extend the bathroom, master bathroom, to a room for the laundry room, washer and dryer, and maybe a closet out there. I'd like to have Scott Mosby to come out and check that out. Or do you think that's feasible for her to do that?
Oh, no, I absolutely. That is something that we do all the time, moving washer and dryers upstairs from the basement to the main living area somewhere. And we can take your thoughts, take your ideas, but we can also walk, look, examine the house and see and talk about, is there any other possibilities at the same time and ways to do it?
Eliminate one of the bedrooms and make it a laundry room and a closet and a pantry, everything for her. But she says resale, everybody wants three bedroom, but when you get to our age, somebody will find it and only want a two-bedroom and say, hey, the washer and dryer is right here. But
yeah,
you don't want that.
Well, and that's one of the things that can be part of this conversation with both of you, because when you look at it multiple ways, if you had an easy way to get it into a bedroom and you could put it in this bedroom and it cost half what it might cost to do it a different way that other people might appreciate the different way, then you can kind of, we can have a conversation about both of those ways, and you could make an educated decision for yourself on well, do I want to pay half and not really care about the next people or the, you know, who comes to buy the house later? Because if I'm just going to stay here for as long as possible, then maybe that's not a concern to you. Or if you're maybe going to give this house to one of your children are going to take over the house and live in the house, you might want to do it the other way. That's a little better for them and they get a little more out of it and they may need three bedrooms. So it's about examining the whole house, the situation, and talking about the different levels and ways to do it so that you can help figure out what would work for you. But we do it both ways very often. The last construction agreement that I just signed with somebody for moving a washer and dryer upstairs was literally last week. That's how often we do this.
Oh, okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, we can come out, take a look, and help you figure out what would be best for you guys and then take you in that consideration. So, yeah, definitely give Mosby a call. 314-909-1800. Give us a call again. We'd love to come out and check this out for you.
Okay, thanks a lot, and have a great Memorial weekend. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, you too. And, yeah, again, we'll remind everybody out there, Memorial weekend. So, you know, just give some time, some thought, a little honor. Put some flags out for those fallen soldiers. It's a big deal. And we all really love and appreciate what our military, all of our first responders, what all those people do for us. So don't leave anybody out and just really think about it. And then, you know, do a little celebrating for those people, too, because they've given us some good rights. And so hopefully what we can do is take care of us, take care of our homes, get things figured out and live some really good, honest, great lives for the people that have sacrificed so that we can have what we do. I think it's just a huge thing that none of us should forget about, for sure. And for everybody else out there too, any information you need, you can look up my social media. You can just search Rich Orris Mosby. You'll find me on Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find information about us. You can call our office, 314-909-1800, like Jim's going to do, and get that figured out. So for everybody else, hey, have a good week. I'll talk to you next week, and be good to your homes.